Headphones on and they just didn't work. Yeah. Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, brought to you by Dr. Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, sponsored by Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, one day before April Fool's 2011, March 31. Hey there, Steve.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, Steve, I just spent a ton of money, trying to get my system up and running, and I had it working great the other night with special effects. I'm surrounded by boards and special equipment, and it doesn't work tonight, and I'm so disappointed.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know how to describe it. You know,
I'm really sorry to hear that. I just got off the phone with Don. He was telling me about it. I really feel sorry about that because I know you spent a lot of money on that stuff.
Well, the technician alone was $1,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Then the equipment alone was another several thousand, and it doesn't work. Yeah. I don't know what's wrong with it, but it sucks, and I'm very disappointed.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Now, beyond that, we're cool. And
that's cool.
Running, and what's going on around here anyway? What's the deal? Tell me the deal on the wheel.
Well, I'm doing a lot of energy work out here, and there's a lot of interesting things happening with the flamethrowers. People are really starting to feel it, Fred. Evidently, there's a lot more energy coming through, and they're really starting to feel like a vibration in the room. And it's really wild. The projectors are sending out this white light, and the white light is being pulled into the flamethrower. So evidently, they seem to be jibing together and working together, so it's really incredible. I'm having a lot of fun watching this stuff going to town.
Well, that's really good.
It's really wild, Fred, and I'm getting deeper into people in terms of energy. I'm able to see more in the body, so that takes a lot to do. And but I'm really enjoying it, Fred. It's really, really a lot to do, but it's so much fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, with all the, I mean, we just did that big show last week on electronic harassment after Rush Limbaugh.
Yes.
And we had a tremendous response on that. People just, there are a lot of people getting harassed out there.
Yeah.
Have you got your computer on now?
Yeah, I got the computer on, but I don't have your picture.
Well,
it was there for a second and then it disappeared.
I'm here. I'm running.
I know you are. I know you are.
I can see myself.
So I'm trying to find
Boo family here, and I got Bella Boo. Everybody wanted to know what happened to Bella Boo, so we got her back.
Yeah, what happened last week? He wasn't there.
Well, she wasn't there, but she's here now. Got the whole gang here. Her up real close here.
Huh.
And there's Bella Boo. She's right behind me there when you can zero in on her. She's right there. She just bites once in a while. If she wants something and she doesn't get it right away, she's going to bite. But other than that, she's sweet as hell, you know. Right, Bella Boo?
Yeah.
Everybody wants Bella Boo. Everybody wants her, yeah.
She's a beautiful bird.
She had a little sickness, but we got her. I had to give her shots for I had to give her 14 shots. You know what? It's really hard to take your little bird and stick her upside down and get a big old needle and give her a shot every day. I had to do that for a week.
Really?
Twice a day, yeah. Oh, she's screaming, you know. She didn't like it, but she had a bacterial infection. She's fine now, but... And that's, you know, I can give myself shots, so I can give you a shot, no problem, but I don't like shooting up birds, you know.
Yeah.
That's, I'm not a veterinarian, you know, but I became one. Yeah. So anyhow, she's here behind me there, and everybody can see her. You know, a lot of people have been asking about her, and where's Bella Boo?
Yeah. Yeah.
Here now. And Buddy Boo's chewing my ear off. Good boy. He, of course, he's an old ham now. He's been on the show for quite a while.
Yeah.
He's figuring out how to get
I can't. I'm not raising your picture at all, Fred. It's not coming through. I don't know what's happened, but I'm not getting it on.
I'm on you know Ustream.
Yeah, so am I. I don't see it. I have. I don't see it. But whatever happened,
broadcasting and we're recording and we're. Let's see here.
That's wonderful.
I just got a new camera. I haven't hooked it up yet. It's sitting over there on the end of the mess down here. We got a big mess going because of this new studio thing that we did with all this new equipment.
Yeah.
Like a wire is there. I'm going to actually put it on the wall over here eventually when I get it working. But you know, here we are, and we got this equipment, and we got, there's so much stuff down there.
Yeah.
You know how technology goes. I've been wanting to get the studio up and running so we can start bringing guests back on.
Oh, that would be fun.
Clarity, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
I mean, this is a big show here, and I'm doing a lot of big AM shows now and FM shows. And so I need I'm boosting the quality of this thing up, but I just hate it when my equipment doesn't work. It's not. It's all exactly the way that the engineer set it up. I haven't touched a knob anywhere. Call on this, push this button, blah, blah, blah. I did all that, and nothing happened.
Huh.
Big disappointment. Yeah. So anyway. That's what's going on. And
how have you been?
Oh, I've been fine.
You doing good?
Yeah. That's there's wonderful. So much electronic harassment going on with people these days. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Out there. How many of your clients are complaining about that?
A couple, Fred. A couple of have felt harassment, but not to a total. It's not been that bad. Now, I presume that the flamethrowers, the projectors, the super receptor that I'm wearing, everything I'm wearing is to block all that out. So I'm pretty well sure I'm pretty protected.
Yeah. Yeah, you're in good shape. The flamethrower is one of the, I've got people that, you know, you can buy one flamethrower and just aim it at the direction where the harassment's coming from.
Right.
And, but you know what they're doing now, and this is
what they're
doing. More than one client complained about this. It's on the back of my chair now. I had one client complain that, actually several. They break into your house when you're not home and take things.
Really?
Yeah. There's a thieving going on behind this. Or they'll break in and they'll rearrange things. They won't take anything. And we've had, you know, a number of people tell us that that's what happened to them.
That's incredible.
Yeah, they break in. It's on the internet. I mean, I didn't know it was on the internet, but then when I did some research on it, I found out that was what was happening, you know?
Right.
Shocked to hear that. And they break in and they rearrange your stuff. And they do things to mess with your mind.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's absolutely astounding.
That's really incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so sad.
Well, that's what they're doing now. And it still seems like the majority of the people, as a matter of fact, the host that I had on the other night on my show for the WHO radio, which is one of the largest AM stations in the world, 7-8. The hostess, who worked for Ronald Reagan, has since come under electronic harassment attack since the show.
Really?
Yeah, since the show. Yeah, I'm not putting her name out, but She's, I guess, helping out somebody else over there. But she did. She did a big thing on Obama's birth certificate because she wanted to do that, and I didn't want to do that, but they wanted to do it. The network.
Right, right.
So I sent him a copy of Obama's birth certificate because he's born in Kenya, even with a footprint on it. And she's been under hell since then, you know. Matter of fact, she said, you know, she's in a farm, but she says her house is only 45 feet from the street. And
right.
2 o'clock in the morning, when she goes to turn her lights on to look out the window after feeling this harassment, she sees cars drive off, and she's in the middle of Iowa in the farm country. Yeah. Yeah, she's getting some equipment from us to take care of it, but that's how crazy it is out there. I mean, it's like hard to believe, but, you know, being over here at Grand Central, you know, I'm seeing this happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so crazy, Fred.
Yeah. And we have to stop it, but, I mean, these people, they have to realize, you know, unfortunately, it's technology. He was asking me, well, is there anything in there, you know, can I put a copper plate up by my refrigerator and blah, blah, blah. I
said, right.
You have to have stuff that's tuned to microwave frequencies like our stuff is to stop this stuff. Because she's getting the local harassment, which from the radar flashlight and some of the local stuff they've got, the silent sound thing and all that stuff. And a lot of people aren't getting it from the satellite. They're getting it directly from right down the street, and that's the hard stuff to deal with. The satellite stuff is easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a world we live
in. That's really crazy.
I mean, everybody should be raising their consciousness now and moving forward into a better horizon. I mean,
we're rotating
around the Pleiades every 26,000 years, you know, precession of the equinox.
Right.
Good things are happening. And still, I mean, oh, my God. Well, I was reading an article today. By the year 2030, that means that, you know, if you had a child today, you know, when they're 20 years old or 19 years old, the planet would be unable to support their life anymore. So 19 years from now, there'll be so much extra people on this planet that the environment, crops, the water cannot support their existence here. So you can see why these people are motivated to stop the birth thing. Because everybody today wants to get married and have a kid. And they're going into oblivion, and they don't realize when their kid's 19 years old, they have a death sentence. That's bad. My buddy's reaching into my hardware. I was getting ready to mount my mixing board, my new mixing board on the wall. I've got through into the wall to you know, make it stronger if you're going into plaster. You know those, you know what I mean? Those screw into the wall, the plaster thing. So you put a screw in after you put the plastic thing in.
Yes.
My buddy just grabbed one. And he's eating it now. He's up there eating it.
Hi, Sam. You got both birds there.
Yeah, I got them both.
Wonderful.
Yeah, Bella's here. Bella's here. Here.
Wonderful.
Hey, it's okay, babe. Bella's here. She just wanted to spend a lot of time with Dad lately because she was very sick and she's very well now. She had a sickness for 6 months, didn't you, babe? We didn't even know it. So her feathers fell out. She was turning bald, but now everything's going bad. Good bird. That's my old sidekick. You see her on the early shows.
Yeah.
You know, we all know Buddy Boo. Everybody knows Buddy Boo, you know. So your camera's working now, huh?
Oh, there you are.
Yeah. See Buddy chewing that white thing? Normally that's to the wall, you know. So you can put a screw in. You screw that thing into the wall, and then you put a screw in that, you know. It's an anchor, like an anchor. I got those that mount this. I mean, look.
When did you start that new show, Fred?
Oh, I'm not doing it. I'm just doing it occasionally. Look, check it out. Here's the board. See the board?
Yes.
Board that's supposed to be on the wall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, look at that, huh?
And
then over here is, let me get the cord up here. Come on here. Okay, over here is the other equipment. Let me get the thing. This equipment, this is $500 right here for this JK Audio Digital Hybrid Innkeeper PBX box. This thing here.
Yeah.
That's, and then there's a phone that goes on top of it. But the phone I'm on now is this one, which is a speakerphone, mm-hmm. which sucks. But all this equipment replaces that and makes everything better, but none of it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. I really want to really bring this show up a notch, you know. Back in the day when we had all the guests on, we were the number one show on BBS. So we've way since fallen off from that, but we'll come back. We do have to, first of all, you know, when I do guests, I have a system here that when a caller calls in, they can call in direct. See that
right?
That's for calls. That's the microphone. This is the microphone that we're using. Not right now,
right.
but it's a Sennheiser. It's one like that Elvis used. We call it the Elvis mic.
Right.
And so, I mean, we got some, right, and the headphones are over here that I'd be wearing normally. But none of this is working, so.
Wow.
I'm really disappointed. I worked all week to get this up and running for this show, and, wow, it didn't work. So, you know, God has other plans. You know what
Evidently.
I mean? Yeah. That's okay. We'll get it fixed. At least we're going in that direction. And I put this off for a year and a half. You know, I've been accumulating equipment. And now I'm ready to do it right, you know. We've gotten so much attention. We get Saturday night at George Butler. He's on Alex Jones' network. Last Tuesday, I did the Who Radio. I've been asked to do a bunch of other shows, which I haven't done because I want my equipment working. You know what I mean?
Right.
I want to do it where I come through loud and clear and act like somewhat like a professional versus a person on a speakerphone.
Yeah, now, are you doing the show on right after Rush Limbaugh? Is that your new show?
No, it's not a new show. It's a show that I do when I'm asked, and we're going to do another one. That's
okay.
On www.whoradio.com.
Okay.
You can look it up. It's a big show. It's out of Des Moines, Iowa. And it just happens to be that's where they have the Republican Democrat convention every year.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And so anyway, that's a big show. I'm not going to be a regular around there, but you know, when I get my equipment up and running, I'm sure I could be a regular on a lot of networks. But I need to have. I mean, I have to act professionally. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Doing it off a speakerphone is not the way to a show.
Yeah,
I got special effects on this board. I can make all sounds and I can patch in music and commercials. So I'm getting there to do all that, but it just isn't working yet.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
How's your projector system working?
Projector system is working really good.
Oh, good.
I got all four projectors up. There's a guy that called me. He bought eight projectors, flamethrowers, and
Charles.
all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, Charles.
Yeah, I got to give him a call tomorrow, see what I can do to help him out.
Yeah, he needs to get amplifiers. He's got a huge system. He ordered, I think. Where did you go over there, honey? Well, he's just exploring. There's so much equipment here that Buddy wants to run the control. He jumped off the bird retainer into the box of parts and was heading to the mixing board when I rescued him. He's an engineer. He can open up any bird cage. I don't care how many locks you put on it, unless it's a padlock. He can open it. He gets up every morning and lets all the birds out. They're running all over the place in the morning. Including himself. He just opens it up and lets them out, don't you, babe? He's a mechanical bird. I'm serious. There's not a bird cage that he can't open. You know, with normal rock, you put him on it, it's opened. Slide latches, those things that hang down, the gravity latches that, you know, around bird cages. He opens everything. And he knows how to sequence the opening. Because if there's a hanging thing, you got to open up the stationary locks down below and then open up the gravity lock. And he can do it all.
Right.
He's very smart. He wants to know when he can drive your Cobra.
He can drive it any time he wants.
No.
I'd like to head out there this summer with it.
Yeah, are you coming out?
I'd love
to. Come down, stay in the guest house, man. We'll do some shows together. I'll have my board set up, and we can do some really good shows together.
Yeah, that would be great.
I'll get us on some big shows. You know, I've got a lot of places that want me to come on that I just have to call them, and then say, okay, let's do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have a waiting list of shows that want me to do them now.
Wow.
Which which is cool, you know. But
that'd be a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to do is get professional now before I do all these shows. Because in the past, mm-hmm. we've been kind of winging it, you know what I mean? We're kind of like
right.
the wingers. You know, and I want to get really professional like we were before. Back when I was in Laguna and I had a pretty good setup over there. But we're going to get there. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a lot of energy to do these shows. The show I did on after Rush Limbaugh was 3 hours.
Wow.
And when I do George Norrie, it's 3 hours. And we're talking three-hour shows here.
Yeah.
Not an hour and not an hour and a half. There's a lot of commercials, a lot of news breaks. A lot of stuff goes on, but it's still 3 hours.
Yeah. Well, I remember last time you did George Norrie, your throat was really hurting you after a while.
Yeah, George said to me when we first went on the air, my voice quit. Because I just come back from L.A., that show we do up there that you've been to. Every time
right.
we go to that show, we pick up a little bit of a swine flu for some reason.
Really?
We came back, and once again we had it. You know, our stuff, we knocked it out in a week, but it just happened to... The show was within a week, and we hadn't knocked it out yet. Everybody else is down for 6 or 8 weeks. We're down for a week. But I had it all knocked out of my system, you know, with the receptor and all that. But then the bottom line was my throat wasn't there, got together. So I got me a big pile of water. I had a gallon of water, and I said, George, I'm going to water the fire, and we're going to do the show. And he laughed, and away we went. And I just, whenever my voice quit, well, I just drank some water, and everything went fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he wanted to put the show off for a couple more days. I said, no, the show goes on now. That's
wow.
how we do it here.
Good for you.
Yeah. I've never missed a show because of an illness. You know, mm. never have. I've had equipment failures on shows like tonight, but I still do the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
So anyway, I'm looking at the... there's the gang. Yeah, I see Jones. Yeah, he tried to call me 3 times yesterday and left a message. Yeah, I was so busy. I wasn't here yesterday, unfortunately. But we'll get this thing fixed afterwards, you know. My engineer called and he put the email up there. We'll get it going.
We'll get it going.
Plus, we're taking over the RaysOfTruth.tv website. Thank God. People sign up to that website. They pay $147 for 3 months. And they sign up, many of these people... And this guy, Marco, who runs the website, he's done such a sloppy job. I'm so embarrassed. And I just want everybody out there that's listening now to realize that I don't have control of the RaysOfTruth.tv website.
Right.
And he when he ran it like he was supposed to, the site was huge. It was huge.
Yeah.
He had hundreds and hundreds of people. And then he decided, you know, he doesn't have to work at it anymore. So he let it run down, and so I get people signing up every other couple days, you know, for 3 months, and they can't even log on.
Wow.
I mean, that is ridiculous.
That's crazy.
It was meant to, you know, not only have good information, but it was meant to, you know, there's 13 chapters or 14 chapters in the Inside Track, and it was meant to have a each single chapter was meant to have a chapter extension on the website because the electronic harassment is growing and the book could be obsolete after a while. It's not yet, but I mean, it's not even published yet except for us, but it could be obsolete. So what we do is people that subscribe, you know, bought the book and subscribe to the RaysOfTruth.tv website, they get to go on the website and get the extensions of the book. And believe me, I get daily updates to put on there. I get emails from all over the world to references, to websites, you know, websites not classified, but next to it, information backing up what I do. And so that's what was meant to do the Rays of Truth. In addition to that, we want to set up the shows that we do on Sunday night on BBS Radio. We want to have them to have access to those live shows because now we're sort of ad-libbing and we're talking about things. The shows that I do on BBS Radio on Sunday night are straight-on lectures, you know, straight-on information. And those shows are going to be getting updated soon because I'm going to start. And we have a video that I want to put on there that's 2.5 hours of a video that could go on the RaysOfTruth.tv. 2.5 hours demonstrating, you know how the tests we do with the projector
yes.
receptor and all that stuff?
Yes.
And all the other equipment? All on high definition demonstration, ready to go. We're selling the CDs for $49, but I want it to be available to free to all the people
right.
on RaysOfTruth.tv. I want that 2.5 hour CD up there. And that, say, that right
yeah.
there is $50 that they would normally spend. They get it for free. And it has all the demonstrations. It was very. We just did that in February. It's a great video. And I got some other videos that I want to post up there, including some UFO stuff. But unfortunately, the idiot that was running it did not take care of it. And so all the people are suffering. So my friend Ryan is
right.
taking care of it now. We're going to get it all up and running in the next month.
Good.
So
Let
there's
me
going to be a lot of cool stuff.
Numbers,
Plus,
Fred.
When you come out here, we'll do a video and put you up there.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah.
I'm going.
You got
to
wear a face mask.
Here,
if they
Fred.
See your face, you're going to break the camera.
Right.
Yeah.
One. Yeah. Let me give out some phone numbers here. 1-888-815-9752. 1-530-327-7602. 1-530-413-4510. And please call us. We'll do the best we can to answer your questions. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a lot cheaper. I keep telling people, you know, they call in during the day and they want to speak to me. Well, I don't have, you know, I have to charge, you know, because my time, I have to run a company. I have lots of them. We hired 2 new people recently.
What did you?
Yeah, and, you know, I've got wages and stuff here, and the taxes are due, and, you know, I paid some of them, and I got to pay some more. And, you know, I just can't sit down and shoot it with the people on the show, so I charge $4.50 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that hear me on, like, Coast to Coast, then they get a special rate at $1.50 an hour, and that gets
mm-hmm.
that's applied to the purchase of whatever they buy, if they buy anything.
Right.
And the bottom
right.
line is, here we are on this radio show, and it's free. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
are people afraid to go on the air or something? I mean, it's okay. Obviously, the NSA and everybody's already got you in their sights anyway, so what are you worried about? You know, get used to it. Because as
yeah.
the Gestapo did with Hitler, everybody, every single citizen in Germany was under surveillance, and they didn't have computers and stuff. They did it
yep.
the hard way with files and that, and guess what? They had everybody under surveillance. You went out in the street, if you didn't have your papers, your Reich papers, as they call them, Reich papers, you know, you had a problem. And that's
I think
the same
their own neighbors were turning them in, too.
If you don't have 2 forms of photo ID and they pull you over, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
There's no difference. Yeah.
Wow.
It's called fascism. Yeah.
Hello?
Like
Hello.
Hello,
Dr. Bell.
Hello, who's this?
This is David and Gail. David and Gail Moll calling from Big Sur, California.
From where?
From California, Big Sur.
Big Sur. Wow, you got a bridge fall out or a road fall off up there recently.
Yeah, we're cut off at the moment from the north and the south.
Really?
Yeah, the northern one is indefinite when they'll have that really opened. The south is should get open this weekend.
Is there a good restaurant that you can go to between now and then or not?
There are. There are businesses open, yeah.
But they're not getting supplies. They're running off the old stuff, right?
Well, I was at a gas station up there yesterday. They're saying they're running out of gas. he's trying to tell us to buy the mid-grade because then he'd be able to mix the two and make it last longer.
Yeah, I do that in my BMW, my X5. You know, I mix the grades. Yeah. So is there any back roads in, or are you just really isolated right now?
There's this road over the mountains called Nacimiento that stays open pretty much, but yeah, we're even cut off from that at the moment. Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that area up there. I've lived up there, and it's beautiful country. But I mean, they had a bridge fall down, and then a road fell off. You know, so when I was in the Air Force, I was stationed up there at Point Arena. So I used to come down through Big Sur all the time, and coming down up at Jenner, the ridge up to Point Arena from Jenner, the road used to fall off. I mean, I had a motorcycle, so if the road fell off, I could ride up some back roads or logging roads to get up and down. But it was a big problem, and obviously it still exists. anyhow, what can I do for you? What can Steve and I do for you today, sir?
Well, just what you were saying there brought up one thing for me, just to comment on that. There was this friend of ours who has since become a Buddhist monk, and he lived here in Big Sur, but he had known you before, and was talking about being with you, I think, and looking at UFOs out over the Pacific Ocean someplace. His name was Ivory Tom.
Oh, Tom Ivory!
Tom Ivory.
How's he doing? Man, I haven't heard his name in a while.
Yeah, well
I used to go up there. He had some of that African, okay, and right in front of his house. And we would have a little bit of African plant. We would sit there for 2 days. Tom, I want his phone number.
Oh, cool, he was always doing his trading and artifacts and different things and making things out of ivory and different crafts.
Oh, he's awesome.
And then, you know, I had gotten into this Tibetan Buddhist thing and was teaching some, and you know, Tibetan language and stuff. And so he ran us down one time. He says, "Hey, now wait a second. Isn't there something you can learn about this stuff?" And he ended up becoming a student of mine, and then has since become a monk, taken ordination, and now he lives in Nepal.
No shit, he lives over there
for quite a few years.
He had an awesome place right on the cliffs of Big Sur.
Yeah, yeah.
Spent many a week with this man. I miss him.
Yeah.
I need to. How do I get in touch with him?
Well, I just opened up my computer. We were just watching you on Ustream, but then my computer seized up. But just luckily, I just called in at that moment. But I've got his email, and we order stuff from you. So I can definitely get you his email address.
Yeah, email it to fredbell@paradigm.com.
Okay.
Yeah, and I will contact him. I miss that man so much.
yeah, he's a really,
he's
really
a real
cool guy.
Deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ivory.
I never thought I'd ever hear him again.
I'm sitting here wearing a pyramid and a... a receptor.
Yeah, there you go.
And I wonder if you had any comments about the combination of those two when you wear them together.
Well, Steve does that. I don't do that. Steve explained it to him how it works for you. It doesn't work for me, but it works for other people. Explain it to him.
Well, you didn't like it too much yourself.
Well, you know, let Steve go first. Steve, explain when you wear them both together.
Yeah. What I did, I wore my. My receptor for 8 years before I ordered the projector, and I guess I was so used to the the new projector that both of them fit very
now,
well.
Okay,
with
wait,
me.
I'm not talking about a projector now, right?
But
I'm talking about a pyramid.
Mix them unless you're really really used to it. Now,
I don't have a projector, but what I'm talking about is a pyramid, one of the head pyramids. I'm wearing a head pyramid.
You can wear that.
The
oh,
gold
sure.
one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's fine.
And along with the receptor, any ideas about how those two combine together?
Well, they work great.
Well, I do a lot of energy work with pyramids. And I sit in a pyramid when I meditate, so I wear my projector and receptor, and it's really, really powerful. Very, very powerful. And it's a lot of fun to wear.
Cool. Okay, well, Dr. Bell, then I did have some questions I wanted to ask you about. Like, with the reactors in Japan, I mean, if there was something that happened, like a China syndrome kind of thing that happened, What would that mean if there was some like worst case scenario, and then also like what kinds of exposure do you think we're getting to radiation over here on a general basis? I know that you have your Geiger counters on your for sale. Do you think we need to get one of those just to be checking things? What different kinds of things?
All you really need, but the amount of radiation.
Yeah, a lot of questions, but first about the reactors over there, and then about whether we should have one of those Geiger counters.
Now, you really don't need a Geiger counter, but a nuke alert is all you need. A Geiger counter is going to cost you $400 and up. We do sell them.
Okay, well, the nuke alert, you call it?
Yeah, it's only $160, I think.
Right.
They'll start beeping, and we look, you know, the Sievert is the standard today, but I like to go with the Bechtels and the Radons, and we're, you know, a 500 radon units, or I don't know, 50,000 or 500,000 Sievert would be considered a fatal dose after 5 hours, but we're getting like 0.05 Sievert. I mean, you don't have to worry about it, other than the fact that it's a cumulative, and you know, just don't want to, you get the bottle of water, make sure your water is free, you know, of radiation. So other than that, no, you don't have to worry about what's coming in from Japan, because the water itself is more radioactive than, you know, that we drink every day. It's 15% more radioactive than it was a few years ago because of the, you know, and we're talking about, you know, bombs that were blowing up on this planet with half-lives of radiation of, 2,000 years or more. But now we're just looking at radon and bismuth and cadmium and some of the stuff that's going on. It's pretty much dispersed by the time it gets here. Unfortunately, you know, it does affect the wildlife. It does affect birds. You know, it doesn't knock them out of the sky like they did with that phosgene gas down in Arkansas, but killed 5,000 birds in one shot, and a bunch of fish. But I mean, it does have an effect on things. You know, right now the amount of radiation that's coming now is just going to make your tomatoes bigger. That's about all it's going to do. It's not going to affect the human body. And if you're taking our, you know, a Fotide, Ginseng, and Gotu-Kola products, you will have no effect. And that would be the Shaoxi, and it would be the Parallel that we sell, which were both developed because of my studies at the University of Michigan back when I was a young kid on the effects of the people at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That people at Ground Zero in both bomb explosions, a lot of them had no radiation or genetic damage other than the burns, but no long-term exposure damage, whereas people 30 miles away had exposure damage, genetic damage, et cetera. And we looked at that and we said, why are these people so healthy that we're so close to the radiation? And the answer was electrolytes in their brain, which creates electricity in the brain, sends that down through the central nervous system, which creates on the aura field, the electrical field of the body, auric offset. And so we developed Fotide, Ginseng, and Gotu-Kola products based on that back when I was 14 years old. And I have those products today. And I predicted back then that someday I would need to develop stuff, and I have it now. Fake that, you don't need a Geiger counter. And you could probably handle a lot more up close and personal radiation than the average person. But so there's no danger, but just keep the electrolytes up. And then you already have the nuclear receptor. That's all you need for your personal environment. You know, when you get into the projector.
I've gone through a couple of bottles of the show cheese so far, but I'm out at the moment. I got to order.
Oh, we got it here.
Some more.
Yeah, and we're holding our price at $20. Seems like it's getting pretty popular, and the price is upward going to 30 now. You know, from what I've seen around, but our price has gone up, but the FDA doesn't know how to handle this stuff. You know, in fact, I got a bottle right here, and I'm having a sip of it. It really works on radiation. So take as much of it as you
stuff.
Can.
Yeah. I heard another story. We heard another story about two different hospitals that were in the vicinity of the bomb blast. At one of the hospitals, they were just given their patients and their staff regular food. At the other hospital, they were giving their staff and patients just real traditional Tibetan, Japanese food. It was with a lot of kelp, a lot of seaweed in it.
Yeah, kelp is good because
and
kelp has iodine.
Everybody in the
it.
First hospital, they all died. Everybody in the second one, they all lived. It was like just because of what they were getting into themselves from all that kelp and that seaweed, I think.
Well, the kelp people died or the kelp people lived?
Yeah, the people with the kelp lived.
Yeah, because kelp is very high in natural iodide. And what happens is, with the thyroid gland being the throat chakra, if the thyroid gland is affected by radiation, it spreads a negative energy to the rest of the system. Now, some people have their thyroid glands actually removed, so therefore they would have to look at the adrenals or a further down organ for the damage. Because the thyroid gland contains thyroxin. Thyroxin is very susceptible to radiation, because I actually think, you know, for my own purpose, I think that thyroxin is slightly radioactive in itself, and it's like a meter in the body, but I don't think it's detectable levels. It's got to be very, very minimal. And I think if you overactivate the thyroxin levels with radiation, then it does you know, it starts upsetting the hormonal balance in the body. And the FDA asked me to do, years ago, tests on the nuclear receptor. And the only thing, a test you can do with a nuclear receptor in a lab to make a medical claim is to look at the hormonal levels. But when you're looking at the hormonal levels of a body and how the receptor changes it, it's a very expensive series of tests. The FDA had asked me to do it. I'm going to do it, but I haven't had a chance to do it yet. I've got the University of California, Irvine, ready to do it with me so that the receptor can actually be made into a medical claim. But the bottom line is, the reason the tests are so expensive in endocrinology is because we're looking at parts per billion of a hormone in the bloodstream. And that requires some very sophisticated, very time-consuming studies. And that's the reason why I haven't conformed with the FDA to make, you know, for medical claims. That's why we don't make medical claims for the receptor. But we've been asked humbly, I emphasize humbly, by the FDA to do these tests. They're very curious to see what the receptor does and how it affects people that way. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, that's cool.
Well, what about the other thing about those reactors in Japan? Like, what would be like the worst thing that could happen? I mean, what does happen in a China syndrome?
Well, the China syndrome, the reactor reaches what's called critical mass, and what it does, it explodes. And when it explodes, it takes the thorium. I think those are plutonium rods, and it blows it all over the place. It blows it out. You know, it takes pure thorium, which breaks down into krypton and a couple other elements. It blows it out, and it has that the decay element of those is thousands of years. So it blows out a radioactive dust that has a time-consuming, you know, decay period of thousands of years, and it spreads it pretty far. However, because of those kinds of explosions, the particles are large and doesn't go too far, depending on the winds. But if it's a big enough explosion that can reach the trade winds, it could dump some serious damage on, you know, American cities, because this is the way that, and then you'd have a serious radiation problem. That's why they're trying to keep it cool. The trade-off is they're cooling the rods with seawater. The seawater is radioactive going back into the ocean, but it's not making a flurry into the skies. You know, if it gets into the skies, which a little bit has, it's gotten over here, but it's insignificant what's here now to be anything concerned about. It's nothing. It's like you could get a bad sunburn. That would be more damage to your body than what's coming here now.
Hmm.
But if you have an explosion, you got a basic nuke bomb, and that will spread. But, I mean, look at World War II. We dropped bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and that produced a huge mushroom cloud that we've all seen. That went up into the troposphere and dispersed itself all over Japan and out into the ocean, but it never reached the United States. So it's nothing to worry about, but the news media wants you to worry about it, okay? The way the news media plays it, it scares people. It's, everybody's selling a lot of radiation detectors. You know, we're back-ordered we're not back-ordered on nuclear alerts, but we have a back-order right now on the little $5, you know, stickers that we sell to measure this. But it's just making good business.
Well, you have $5 stickers that measure it?
What?
Would you say you have $5 stickers that measure it?
So I have $5 stickers that will change color, and they're on my website. Look at my website on the front page.
Yeah, the website's gone. I think it's the second one.
Yeah, and you'll see what they do, and we can sell those. They're $5. And I, matter of fact, I got to order some more of those tomorrow. We sell a lot of those. But, you know, to be serious about this, get a nuke alert. You know, $160, and you got something to put on your keychain.
The way I water with that also
new alerts was that, you know, we got into those back after 9/11 when we figured that a terrorist could take a bunch of radioactive dust, which is, you know, was being stolen off the Texas oil fields because they used some stuff for drilling of oil and detecting oil that produces radioactive waste, and that was being stolen. If a person got a bunch of that dust and threw it in a air conditioning system in a hotel like the MGM Grand and walked out, they'd never be detected because you could walk into any room that's open with the maids working on it, toss it in and walk out. And the symptoms are such that you wouldn't notice it right away, but within 24 hours you'd have stomach problems. You'd think you're having a flu, and a week later you'd be dead. And so the nuke alert would be perfect, you know, when you're traveling or checking into a motel or whatever. The nuke alert is perfect for that, and that's why we've been selling those. We've been selling those continuously for years. You know, you don't need a Geiger counter to detect that kind of radiation. And
can you check water with it?
Sure. Yeah, and it lasts 20 years. The battery in it lasts 15 to 20 years. So that's all you really need to spend. You don't need to spend $500-$600 on it.
Okay, good. And you have those?
Yeah, we have them.
Okay, good. Well, I've been reading the CIA doctors.
Oh, yeah, you got the 149 Sled Project.
That's a good book.
And the author, Ross, starts off talking about when they deliberately dusted Spokane, Washington with radioactive dust in there. Some of the things that they've done to the populace.
You think that stopped? No.
No, I don't think so.
No, it hasn't stopped at all.
No.
And they'll never admit anything like it because
why should they?
They open themselves up to too much liability. But
it's part of the Haig-Kissinger depopulation policy. As I said earlier, in 19 years, this planet cannot support the amount of growth that it's showing at this point. It can't do it. And so it's our extermination programs that are going on right now. You know, this is the truth.
Yep.
I mean,
by all means possible, it seems. Whether man-made or natural or mixtures of the two.
Yeah, well, this is the time we live in, and this will all come to a head by the December of next year, you know. December 26th, to me, doesn't represent a huge earthquake or anything. It represents a time when people on the mass levels will finally wake up and realize what's going on and do something about it. To me, that's a wake-up call, like the alarm clock's going to go off on December 26th, 2012. Or somewhere in that neighborhood. You follow what I'm saying? I don't see any particular catastrophe happening on that day. I just think that by that time, and if you look at the growth curve, and I just read Popular Science, I get it on a regular basis, how stupid people are. They couldn't even answer the questions in America to get a green card. The average American could not answer on a normal test enough questions about American history to even get a green card. That's how stupid people are. They don't know anything about
it. It's been done deliberately. It's been engineered. You know, this so-called educational system, which was designed to not get people to, you know, think creatively, but intentionally to get them to be good workers and fit in like cogs into the machine. It's been, you know, there's been a whole program to do that. It seems like for quite a while now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, welcome to the band,
down.
You know. Right, Steve? What do you think about all
this?
It's working, I think. Boy. And you know, and kids have all this kind of access to information, but they don't do it very much. And most of the time it's just spent, you know, chatting and talking to their friends and stuff. And
yeah, exactly, like Facebook. You know, my daughters do that. They're just not aware that they've only got about 20 years left to live in the normal world. And you have a kid now, let's say you have a baby now, that kid's 20 years old, it doesn't have a life anymore. You know? And these are national statistics that I've looked up from governmental files. This is where it's at. We've got about 20 more years left on this planet before we run out of everything. You know? So it's up to the people. You know? We need to conserve. We need to get rid of fossil fuel. We need solar energy. We need to start using, stop the nuclear stuff. If you build a nuclear plant, that's fine, but don't build one that's on springs. You know, a lot of these high-rise buildings are built on springs. So when they get an earthquake, a bunch of springs move up and down. I'm talking buildings 50, 60 stories high. Get down in the basement, they're on giant springs, but the spring diameter is the size of your car. And so, you know, build a nuclear reactor that way, we won't have a problem with it. I'm not against nuclear fission and energy. But the way these, you know, they build these plants solid into the ground, and the earthquake's going to ask them to split, you know, because they're grounded out. You know, you can't build them that way. You got to build them like we do the high-rise building. I think that the
for them to say, oh, we couldn't do anything because, you know, the emergency, power wouldn't come on. It's like saying, like firemen saying, oh, we couldn't do anything because it was on fire.
Yeah,
I mean that's what they need to be ready for something like that. That's the idea, right?
Yeah, but they're not, and they don't care. And
oh, but you know, I also heard that there
I got to get off the air. We're out of time.
A deliberate falsification of safety.
How high off the ocean are you? Where you're at? You're like several hundred feet, right? Up in the air, you're like above.
But where we are at the moment, yeah, we're like 400 feet, and then where we're usually like 800 feet.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're going to be having tidal waves, you know, from offshore earthquakes, you know, in California in the next 6 months. So I want to make sure you're high enough.
How does that seem? Like, at the lowest, we're usually like over here. I mean, sometimes over at like 400 feet, but usually we're more like 800 feet.
Yeah. Yeah, the time, I expect that the tsunamis to hit California this summer probably be 50 feet, which if you're at 400 or 500 feet, you'll be fine. All right, we got to get off the air because we're over time here.
Okay, well, thanks so much for talking. I'll call in again.
All right, talk to you in a bit, man.
Good talking to you, Steve, too. Thanks.
Well, Steve, we got to get off the air. Put your number out real quick, and we're out of here.
Yeah, 585-746-8321. I'm here to help you with any questions you might have. Thank you.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, we're at 1-800-729-2603. 1-800-729-2603. This has been Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, brought to you every Thursday, 5 o'clock Pacific, with Buddy Bird, Buddy Boo, Bella Boo, Steve, and myself. Our website is Pyridyne.com, and if you can't remember that, type in the search engine, Dr. Fred Bell. See you next week.
The forces of light are gathering to help humanity at this critical time for the planet, says author Benjamin Krem. The forces of light, he says, are a group of enlightened beings from this planet and beyond, here now to inspire us to live together in unity and cooperation, and to help save the Earth from destruction. To learn more, read Benjamin Krem's latest book, The Gathering of the Forces of Light, UFOs and Their Spiritual Mission. Find it at Amazon.com or your local bookstore.
Hold me tight, don't be afraid. close your eyes and dream. Hold me till the break of dawn. Save me, I'm falling. Reach out and don't let go. Hear me, I'm calling. Hold me tight, don't be afraid to show me your heart. How do you feel? Open your eyes, 'cause this time